Blog Talk Radio. You have tuned into Home, Helen R. Ministry of Empowerment. Welcome home. I am home. I am excited that you have joined me on today. Truly, today is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad therein. On today, we have another exciting lesson for today, and I'm just so excited that you have joined me today. Truly, God bless you today. And it's yours just for the asking. God wants to be a blessing into your life, and he is going to overtake and bless you. On today, I would like for you to join with me. Our lesson is going to be on today, a ministry for every member. Again, we're looking at the gifts of the body of Christ, and we're going to be taking a look at how that you can be effective in the house of God where God has planted you at, and that you can be a tremendous blessing and move forward in your gifts and talents and ministry that God has called every member to be about our Father's business. And we're going to take a look at over at Romans chapter number 12, verses number 4 to verse number 8, and then we're going to look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, verses number 20 to verse number 27. Father, we come right now in the name of Jesus and by the power that's in the Holy Ghost, asking, O God, that you will bless us on today. Bless the word. Bless, Lord, that your people will be strengthened and fortified and undergird and, Lord, exalted and as well exhorted and strengthened in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And, Father, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. And so let's take a look here at Romans chapter number 12. Verses 4 through verse number 8, and it reads on this line, "For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one member one of another, having then gifts different according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministry, or he that teaches on teaching, or he that exhorted on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, and he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness." 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, verses number 20 to verse number 21. "But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eyes cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the feet to the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more these members of the body, which seem to be more feeble, are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely part have more abundant comeliness. For our comely part have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, and having given more abundant honor to that part which lacketh, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now, ye are the body of Christ and the members in particular." Now, let's take a look at our focus verses on today. It's going to center around Romans chapter number 12, verses number 4 and 5. "For we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another." Our thought for today will be, every member of the body has a ministry. Let all serve in their God-given ministry. Now, let's take a look at the scripture and let's look at our lesson on today. No greater parallels to the uniqueness of the body of Christ exist than that of the human body. The human body with all of the necessary contemporary parts is a microcosm of the many, many facet body of Christ. The uniqueness of both the physical body and then the spiritual body is the synergy involved. All the parts working together to produce a result that is greater than the sum of the parts. The physical body could never accomplish all of this function without this unique focus. Likewise, God's body, with all of its diverse parts, could never accomplish its purpose if its members did not work together. In this lesson, we will study how each member has its own function of ministry, yet it is dependent on each of the other parts and helps them to understand the importance. Furthermore, we will learn how diversity in the body needs not engender division, but it is necessary to the overall purpose of the church. Paul provided a classic example of this in his letters to the Corinthians. Unity without conformity. You see it over in 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, verses 12 through verse number 31. Now, let's look here at the uniqueness of each member of the body. As a large organization or corporation is not just a member multiplied many times, so is the body of Christ. No organizational corporation is duplication of any of these members, but it is the unifying effort of the diverse members working together to produce what one could never accomplish alone. So here we find that it is a collective effort of everybody working together towards a common goal and result for the kingdom of God. Now let's take a look. And look here, there is one body. As much as the lesson focuses on individual members emphasizing their roles and responsibility, we all realize the importance and value of the corporate body of Christ. God has foreordained that the body of Christ, church, will be victorious. It will not fail or fall because it is God's body. When God came to the earth in flesh, he came to seek and to save that which was lost by establishing the church. He knew that his ministry in Christ Jesus would last only 3.5 years. However, his ministry through his body, the church, would last for centuries. For us to be able to minister as members of the body, it is essential first that we become members of that body. This is the only possible by being baptized into the body of Christ. For by one spirit are we all baptized into one body. 1 Corinthians 12 and 13. To become a member of the body of Jesus Christ, a person must experience the new birth, repenting of their sin, being baptized in the water in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and receive the Holy Ghost. As he grows and matures, living in holiness, he begins to live as a member of Christ's body, one part of the whole, fulfilling Paul's word. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Corinthians 2 and 10. Now, let's look at many members, and you'll see that over in Romans chapter number 12, verses 4 through 5. For as we have many members in one body, all members have not the same office. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. When we study the human body with all its parts, we understand that the miracle of its existence and learn to appreciate it as a type of the body of Christ. God the Creator designed the human body knowing that it would be a microcosm of his spiritual body, the church. Therefore, When we look at the human body, we are observing a small prototype of Christ's spiritual body. Psychologists have revealed to us that there are about 206 physiologists have discovered and revealed to us that there's about 206 bones and 650 muscles in the human body. They also tell us that the body contains about 11 pints of blood and 79 pints of water. Couple this with at least 50,000 miles of blood vessel and capillaries and 100 billion brain cells. And we have a highly specialized piece of machinery that mankind, with all of its integrity and ingenuity, has never been able to duplicate. This body did not evolve from some lower form of life, but God designed and created it in his own image, the highest form of life. Interestingly, our physical body, as well as our spiritual body, consists of many members. God could have made a body comprised of one member, for with God all things are possible. Matthew 19, chapter 20, verse number 26. However, he foresaw the advantage of having a body comprised of many members synchronized to accomplish a higher purpose. Now, let's look at each body or each member with its a unique role. So each member has a unique role. And let's take a look at that in contrast to the body of Christ. Although the physical body has many parts, Paul listed only four in his first letter to the Corinthians: the foot, the eye, and ear, and head. In 1 Corinthians 12, verses 14 through 26, we know that the body is comprised of more than these four parts. It takes all four and more of the body to reach its full potential. If the whole body were eyes, where would the hearing? If the whole body was hearing, where would the smelling? 1 Corinthians 12 and 17. We clearly understand the message. The body has many parts, and each part has its unique function. The church also is the body with many parts. Just like the human body, every member has its distinct role, and we do not expect everyone to have the same function or even the same ministry. In his epistle to the believers in Ephesus, Paul named some of the ministers in ministry that God placed within the church, but he also stated their combined purpose to edify the body of Christ. Now, Ephesians 4, 11 and 12, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Paul also listed three of these five ministries in his first letter to the Corinthians. And God set some in the church: first apostle, secondary prophet, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gift of healing, helps, government, diversity of tongues. 1 Corinthians 12:28. From these and other writing of the apostle Paul, it is clear that he never intended to establish only a few areas of ministry. Numerous are the ministry that God intended to be within his body, the church. We will discuss only a few of them in this particular lesson, though. Now, let's take a look at them, at some of these unique roles. Now, let's look at number one, encouragement. At any time, everyone needs to receive the ministry of encouragement. This ministry, though not often one of a high profile, is necessary as other ministry in the church. Many of us are victorious today and will be in heaven because some of the ministry of encouragement knew what to say or do to anticipate an appropriate time. Many selfishly wait for someone to encourage them or provide for them a shot in the arm. Obviously, such person are not interested in being involved in ministry of encouraging others. What they do not realize, however, that when a person encourages others, he or she receives encouragement themselves. Paul quoted a principle from Jesus in his address to the church at Ephesus. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Acts 20, verse 35. In his letter to the Romans, Paul mentioned several areas in which the body of Christ ministered through diverse gifts. Romans 12, verses 6 through 8. Having then gifts, differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do with simplicity. He that ruleth, with diligence. He that showeth mercy, with charitable cheerfulness. Romans 12, verses 6 through 8. Now, let's look at another unique role or gifting in the body, is exhortation. Although the basic meaning of the word exhort is to urge earnestly by advice, warning, in this passage it means encouragement. The Greek word exhortation has to do with comfort and consolation. If we combine these two definitions, we arrive at the meaning vocal encouragement as opposed to encouragement by deed. Many people do not realize that the power of their words, both positively and negatively. The wise man Solomon wrote, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof." Proverbs 18 and 21. The fact is that we have the potential of helping or hindering others by our choice of words and the manner in which we say them. Proverbs 15 and 23. "A man have joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good it is." What a challenge. Good deeds of encouragement often involve financial expenditures, but words of encouragement cost us nothing more than a desire to be a positive influence upon others. All we have to do is to open our mouth and try to say something that will be encouraging to others. Anyone can accomplish this if they really try. We often speak words of disappointment when we ourselves are disappointed or feeling bad. However, we should remember that we have the awesome responsibility of encouraging others with our words, regardless of how we feel. Number three, leadership. Let's take a look here at leadership. The Democratic country elects their leader from among a list of those who aspire to public office. The voters hold the right to reject the one who presently fills the office at the next election, and they can vote in whomever they choose to replace them. Although the election places the candidate in the position of a leader, the election alone does not make the person a good leader. Leadership, the ministry of influence, is a vital part of the church. What greater opportunity do we have to influence people than by the Spirit of the Lord? Our personality can always help open doors and perhaps cause people to notice us, but the Holy Spirit is the Christian advantage. God's Spirit emulates from us and touches the hearts like no other human personality could ever accomplish. The ministry of leadership carries with it a great responsibility for those who follow a leader, trust them to know the way. Certainly, a leader's responsibility for their own salvation is serious enough, but his influence on the eternal destiny of others is doubly serious. And you'll see that over in Isaiah 9 and verse number 16. Now, let's look at another point. It is mercy. Perhaps we do not think of mercy as a ministry, but the definition of the word itself makes it easier to comprehend to character as a ministry. The word mercy simply means pity or compassion. Thus, the ministry of mercy is the showing of pity and compassion on the needy, which includes more than just those who are a benefit of food and clothing. However, we should not exclude the latter from the list of the needy. Many opportunities exist among us and around us daily when we could minister to those who are in need of mercy. Many people stumble in their walk with the Lord and struggle to return to their previous spiritual status and effectiveness. As such a critical time, they need to hear words of encouragement and mercy. The ministry counters the judgmental spirit that is so prevalent in our world today. As the Jewish nation used the label of Pharisee and Sadducee in the Bible, we have labels today that often reflect a lack of mercy. If somebody does not appear to satisfy our particular expectation, we often then label them regardless of their accuracy of the label. Even if the label were accurate, resorting to such judgment does not reflect the mercy of the master. And so we must not be so quick to judge, but to offer mercy and the words of encouragement. Now let's look at another point, intercession. Although most ministries are public, interceding for people through prayer ministry to them in a private way, they may never be aware that someone intercedes for them. However, as an intercessor approaches God for them and pray earnestly for their soul, he or she renders a service that is beyond compassion. We find a good example of the ministry of intercession in Genesis chapter number 18. Because his nephew Lot lived in Sodom, Abraham appealed to God to spare the city. And let's look at Genesis, and I'll read it in your hearing, chapter number 18, verses number 23 to 24. Will thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Preadventure there be 50 righteous within the city. Will thou also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein, that be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and the righteous should be as the wicked, that he be far from thee? Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Although Abraham's intercession was not successful in God sparing the twin cities, it was successful in his sparing Lot and some of his family members. As a result, the angel rescued Lot and his wife and the two daughters from the doomed city. Sadly, Lot's wife looked back towards the city while escaping and suffering the judgment of God. We may never know the full extent of the effectiveness of our intercession, but we still should continue in ministry of intercession. Many souls are in the balance daily and are in need of our intercessory prayers. So I want to encourage the intercessors is to not stop praying. And even though your ministry is more behind the scene, keep up the great work. Continue on, because there are many souls that are weighed in the balance, and we need someone to stand in the gap. And so I want to encourage the intercessors to continue to intercede on behalf of those that are lost, that don't know God, and those that are even saved that are also in a battle. Now, let's look here at another point, musical ability. Again, we're looking at unique roles that are in the body of Christ. Without question, musical ability is a gift from God, and we can certainly use it as a ministry. However, those with musical talents often misuse or abuse their gift as they become lifted up in their performance instead of focusing on ministry. When we are used for performance what God has given for ministry, self becomes the focus and manifests itself in pride. We should remember that God intended music to be a special language whose vocabulary contains words of comfort, words of challenge and inspiration and encouragement. When we use it properly, music can be soothe the troubled spirit and dispel evil spirits. And you can see that over in 1 Samuel 16 and 23. Now, let's look at the other gift, a gift of giving. It said, therefore, when thou doest thine arm, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrite do in the synagogue and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Matthew 6 and 2. When we think of giving, our mind usually goes to the finances. However, the perspective of giving is much more encompassing than money. It involves the gift of time, the gift of ability, the gift of talent, the gift of love, and even the giving of ourselves. When a person gives only of his finances and not in other ways, he robs himself or herself and other of a tremendous opportunity to give and receive many blessings. Although everyone should give monetarily, it should encompass more than just a periodic transfer of something valuable from one person to another. It should be a ministry that reaches the deep level of one offering of themselves, referring to the generosity of the Macedonian who gave sacrificial offering. Paul stated that they first gave their own selves to the Lord. Over in 2 Corinthians 8 and 5, you're able to read that. And so when you look at the gift of giving, it goes far greater than to the level of the finance. Again, when you freely give of your time, when you freely give of your abilities, of your talents, of your love, and even giving of yourself, is another gift of giving. Now, let's look at another gift, a gift of help. And God has set some in the church, first apostle, secondarily prophet, thirdly teachers, after that, helps. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse number 28. In our coveting earnestly the best gift, we often overlook the ministry of helps that Paul mentioned. We tend to focus more on the gifts that are public and demonstrative gifts of healing, the work of ministry, the gifts of tongues and interpretation of the tongues, and prophecy. However, the ministry of help is a vital to the works of the Lord as other gifts that are not publicly demonstrated. This ministry is obvious in Jesus' discourse in Matthew's chapter number 20, verse number 26 to verse number 28. And let's take a look at that. But it shall not be as among you, but whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life for a ransom for many. Matthew chapter number 20, verse 26 to verse number 28. And so giving and helping, that gift of help or serving, is one of another gift that God have gifted the body so that the body of Christ can be effective. Now, let's continue on and look at another gifting that God has placed into the body is teaching. Although the original text suggests that pastors and teachers are one and the same person in Paul's letter to the Ephesians, teaching can be separated, be a separate ministry, Ephesians 4 and 11. Many God-called people who never become pastor possess the ministry of teaching. As someone has stated, preaching makes a statement, teaching proves it. Now, let's just take a moment and let's go back over all of these giftings so that you can see each one have a unique role. We talked about the ministry of encouragement, of encouraging people in the body of Christ. Then we talked about the ministry or exhortation that comes to console and comfort through exhorting. Then we have the gift of leadership. And then we looked at the ministry of mercy, the person that can have the pity and compassion on others. And then we talked about the intercession or intercessors who intercedes on the behalf of the body of Christ and those that are lost. Then we also talked about the ministerial or musical ability, those that have the gift of songs or music. And then we talked also about the gifts of help and gift of giving, as well as the gift of teaching. And all of these unique roles within the body of Christ are very vital. Many times we look at the ministerial gift or the public gift, like the gift of healing, the laying on the hands, or we look at the prophecies or the gift of miracles and these particular gifts and things. And sometimes we forget the gift of mercy and the gift of musical abilities, as well as the gift of giving and the gift of help and the gift of exhortation, as well as the gift of encouragement or the ministry of encouragement, encouraging somebody who has gone through a battle and just want to encourage them. That is needful in the body of Christ. And then the last one we talked about was the gift of teaching. The preaching makes the statement. Teaching comes back and proves that statement by breaking it down. One of the things that I share in my home church that is so key and vital is, for some calls it Christian education and some have it as called as Sunday school. These particular pieces are so vital to the body of Christ, because it's like the broken manna, where the food, the word of God, is broken down into practical principles that we can apply it to our life daily. And that's why I'm so compelled. I love preaching. Oh, I love to preach. Yeah, but I find that one of the greatest ministry too is teaching. And that's why these particular airing this focus mainly on teaching, because we need to know how to take the word of God and apply it to our daily situation so that we can live a victorious life through biblical principles. And that's why I use this particular medium as a way to teach and to reach a thousand and people around the world. But I would love to just teach it at this time so that they can apply it to their life. And the Bible said, for a fool need not err, because we're rightly dividing the word of truth so that people can understand it and apply it to their life. In Sunday school or Christian education, you can raise your hands and ask questions when you don't understand. And that's where you can get a greater understanding of comprehending the word of God. Now, my personal testimony is that I used to cry, a grown woman crying, because I missed Sunday school, because it means that much to me, because it's the word of life, the word of God, and bringing forth life into my life. And so I pray that you have a love for the taught word of God as well as the preached word, and let you know, to know I love to preach. But I love teaching just as well, too, because God's people can become greatly empowered with principle that will be sustainable in their lives. So let's take a look here at another point, our second point here, the great diversity in the body of Christ. It is obvious that there is a great diversity of gifts in the body of Christ, each serving various needs of membership. Just as a normal body must be able to accomplish a wide range of functions, the same is true of spiritual body of Christ. God's body, the church, should enjoy the blessing of these different gifts of kinds of gifts. Different kinds of results naturally flow from diversities of needs, diversities of ministry and services. Expecting the same kind of results from the various ministry would be like expecting the same kind of result from different parts of the human body. We never expect the kidney to perform the duties of human heart because the function are vastly different. So are the result of the various gifts of service and ministry within the body of Christ. Now let's look here at another independence of the members in the body. God gave members to the body, 1 Corinthians 11:21. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. To explain the independence of the members within interdependence of the members within the body of Christ, Paul again used an analogy of the human body. Since it is not difficult for us to understand the interdependence of the members of the physical body, it should not be difficult for us to understand the interdependence of the members of the spiritual body. Each member of the body, physical body, needs the other members of the body. Although there are some members that surgeons can remove without endangering the life of the human body, God originally made the body to be complete with all its members. We could assert that the same about the spiritual body, for God intends the church to be comprised of all its members. All of them are vital to the body. God continues to add to the church daily such as should be saved. Acts 2 and verse number 47. The members, physical, whether physical or spiritual, are servants to the body to make it complete and enable it to function as a body and to give it beauty as well. And that's why I share many times with the precious saints of God that everybody is important in the body of Christ, even those who just have the gift of presence being there. That in itself is effective to the body of Christ. And as we talked about the gift of encouragement and the gift of exhortation and the gift of giving, as well as the gift of help and the gift of leadership, all of these and teaching, all of these gifting within the body of Christ is important. Now, one of the things that I was sharing with the body of Christ there at Shekinah, I was sharing with them, when you don't show up and when you do not function in the gift that God has given unto you, then you are handicapping the body because the body cannot be operating as its full potential when the whole body is not giving into the body of Christ. Providing, whether it's the word of encouragement, whether it's the giving of your gifts and talents and time, the body will suffer when people withhold their gift back from the body of Christ because it takes the entire body. Look at the hands. What would happen if the hands, which could be the gift of health, will withhold himself from the body of Christ? Then the place where God would want them to be would suffer because of that part of the body is not operating or empowering the entire body. Even the small toe on your foot. I often tell them the one that's all squished up next to the rest of your toes, that one toe is very vital to the equilibrium of the entire body. So sometimes we think in our mind, or the adversary will say in our mind, that, oh, you're not significant in the body of Christ. We cannot buy into that lie. We cannot succumb to that thought because your role, whether it is just to come and encourage somebody, is vital to the survivors of the body of Christ. And so I want you to recognize you are vital. Everyone that are listening to my voice on today, you are important. You are vital in the body of Christ. And don't let no one else make you not think or feel that you do not or you're not significant in the body of Christ. Your gift is just as vital and just as important as all the other gifting within the body. And we must recognize that and embrace the giftedness that God's given. You may be the very one to have the gift of giving. And when we met of giving, it may not be finances, as we talked about, but we do supposed to give monetarily. But the gift means that I'm gonna give my talent, my energy, and myself for the work of the ministry. I may not have a lot of money in the bank. Yes, I'm paying my tithes. I'm giving my offering. I may not be able to lay down thousands of dollars, but my gift of giving is just as important as somebody who can come in and lay down $4,000 and $5,000 or millions of dollars. Your gift of giving of your time, talent, and energy and ability is just as significant in the body of Christ. Amen? And so I want you to recognize that that is a gift when you give of yourself, give of your time, and give of your talent. Because God fashioned the body just to be so. He may fashion you to say, I'm going to give you stewardship over the abilities and talents that I've given to you. And you maybe can just barely make ends meet throughout the month, but God always comes through. But that does not say that you're not a giver, because you are a giver, because you've given of your time, talent, and energy and yourself to the body of Christ. Intercessors. Interceding, crying out for people. That's another gift that the Lord blessed me to have. It's a gift of intercessory. I love to intercede. I pray and intercede all the time. I'm the intercessor for my bishop. I love to intercede. And think that's a gifting that God has gifted me with and thing, and is just as important as the other gifting in the body of Christ. Okay? So let's look here. Now, at another point here, God gave the body to the member. It says that not only did God give the members to the body, but he gave the body to the members. What would the members be by themselves? All the members may have their individual function, but those functions are all associated with the body. If we were to separate the members of the physical body from the body, they would be completely useless. Without a connection to the body, the individual member should serve no purpose at all, no matter how complicated and necessary they are to the body itself. So through this analogy, we can easily understand how the individual members of the church need the rest of the body. Certainly, the church God gives all of us meaning as well as worth. And so here it's saying that the body needs the members and the members needs the body. We all working together for the same self reason and purpose, being used by the same self spirit. Amen? And so now let's look here. Unity in diversity. Diversity is not division. The different members of the body all have diverse functions, yet their diversity does not engender division. Unity actually exists in their diversity, for they are all enjoying a togetherness that contributes to the oneness of the function that makes the body whole. The word schism in this lesson come from the Greek word that means division. You can see 1 Corinthians 12 and 25. God has so tempered the body that it is the synergetic miracle with diversity and the synergy. and no division. It is not a body working against itself. It is a unified body working together for a higher purpose. Now, that's what the adversary would love to do, is come in and cause schism and ism in the body of Christ. And we see this all the time. And we must really recognize and come into a greater awareness and understanding of who we are in the body of Christ and our function, and recognize that we have diversity of gifts. And that when we come and synergize togetherness, and working and flowing together, even in our diversity, God bless us because of the unity and the wholeness, the whole function together. And so the musician needs the rest of the body. The psalmist needs the rest of the body. The soloist needs the rest of the entire body. Need the gift of health. They need the entirety of the body. Now, let's look here. Unity is not conformity. The unity of the body does not mean that all the members have the same function. Much like engine that has many working parts necessary for its complete operation, the body enjoys the unity of the various members without any all of them conforming to the same function. Likewise, when all the members of the body function properly in their diverse duties, it results in a unity like no other. If all the members were like within the body of Christ, the church would never accomplish God's work. Indeed, it takes all the members doing what God has called them to do in order to fulfill the complete ministry of the body. While God has designed that some of the ministry edify the church, he designed the world. Thus, every body of Christ feels the result of diversified yet unified ministry of the world. And so can you see that, how that everybody will not going to be into one function? But everybody, the way they function within the body of Christ, is performing the ministry God has ordained it to be. Just if we can use a choir for an analogy here. Everyone is not going to be an alto. Everyone is not going to be a soprano. So it's not going to be a tenor. But even within there, you have diversity. They have behind soprano. You may have a alto who is a low soprano, and things crossing over into some of those gifts or range or tone. But guess what? It's what? Working together to synergize in that synergy to bring out and forth a harmonious sound that's going to bring glory, honor unto God. God dispel the evil spirit and soothe and calm the heart of God's people. Oh, my God, I just felt the power of God just hit me right there. And when we come, that's what happened to them. They was up in the upper room on the Pentecost, all on one accord, and they was in one place. And God will meet us every time when we all come in the unity and on one accord and in one place. Then he will command the blessing. If you read Psalms 130:33, it talks about the unity of dwelling together in the spirit of unity and how God commanded the blessing. And so when we can come as a unified body of Christ, God will begin to command the blessing. Yes, when the leadership recognize the givers and appreciate that gift, and when the exalter it recognize the intercessor and recognize and respect each one of the giftings of the body, and we all come together in unity, honoring each one's giftedness, then the body of Christ, as we function in those places and function in those things, then the body of Christ can be a dynamo, a blessing, moving throughout this world, being a blessing and making an impact in the life of God's people. In our conclusion, we have studied how the physical body is a typical of the physical body. Paul aptly compared the two with common comparison that are easily understood. He reminded us that the body is one, yet it has many members, each with a unique role. Differing gifts, service, and results remind us that the body of Christ is full of great diversity. Although this is true, the individual members are interdependent. Diversity in the body should never create division. And this is one thing sometimes we see a lot of time in the body of Christ. We see that division. But when people really come into the true revelation and understanding of their gifting, they don't have to be competitive. They don't have to be divisive. They don't have to cause schism and ism within the body, but they can just flow out because every gift has been put into the body such as God designed it to be there. And once we can recognize it and respect it and rally around it, God will bless. Furthermore, unity is not conformity. We could achieve it not by being alike in function, but here it is. But by working together and towards the same purpose. Finally, each member of the body has a ministry, and each should faithfully serve in that God-given function. Come on and just shout hallelujah. You have a function in the body of Christ. It was God-ordained and God-given unto you, child of God. Yes, I'm speaking to you today. It was given unto you. And sometimes we shrink back from operating in our gift because you feel, or the adversary try to make you feel as though that your gift is not as important or relevant as the other giftings that we see. But I come to tell you that God has given you a function in the body of Christ, and it behooves us that we all will be about our Father's business, because your function is vital to the success of the body of Christ, and it is needful even when you think that it's insufficient or insignificant of what you're doing. You have great importance in the work of God. No, you're not going to conform and look like everybody else, but your gift is still yet important. And yes, in our churches, there are standards and there are things that are there for us for our good and things that we do adhere to and embrace, but your function is what God has given unto you to the body of Christ. And when we don't function in our capacity, then the body suffers from that. Whether you're an intercessor, whether you have the gift of help, whether you have the gift of giving, whether you have the gift of teaching, whether you have the gift of exhortation or the gift of leadership or the gift of comfort through the words of encouragement, whatever that gifting may be, you operate and function in your gift. No, you may not be behind the pulpit. And I believe what is happening now, we're seeing a day of a mass exodus. And this mass exodus is escaping or abandoning just the gifts that God has given to the body and wanting to be in the pulpit or preaching or being that prophet or being out there because it's a gift that is out in front of the people. You may not necessarily have that gift, but you may have the gift of teaching, which is very vital, or the gift of exhorting, the gift of intercessor, interceding. Be the best intercessor and things on the wall. Be the best one to exhort and encourage and always having your ears towards God and saying, God, who can I encourage today? Who can I lift up and speak a word of encouragement unto their hearts today? Who can I exhort today, Lord? And things, or who can I have mercy or showing that bowels of mercy and things, which is another vital gift that we don't see a lot of time operating in the body of Christ, the gift of mercy and pity and compassion. You know, people coming into our church that never been church before, been in church before. Sometimes we can be a little cold and callous. But we need someone who has the gift of mercy to be merciful and kind and loving and to reach out to those individuals that are coming into the house of the Lord, giving their life unto the Lord our God, and not knowing how to the church protocol, not knowing the governments of God and things. But somebody who has that gift of mercy and compassion and pity can come along the side of them and walk them through that process. So we must recognize all of these gifts are very vital. The musical gift, the teaching gift, the gift of mercy, the gift of intercessory, the gift of exhortation, and the gift of encouragement. All of these are vital in the body of Christ. And you do recognize your gifting. If you want that, say, you know, I'm here, whatever I can do to be of help, or how can I help? That's the gift of help. You're there to help. That's a gift. Use your gift and thing. Or if you're there giving of your talents, of your time and your energy, that's the gift of giving. Give of that time and talents and energy to the body of Christ. Mercy. And give of that mercy to somebody. Be merciful and things. And share your mercy and share that. Or the gift of leadership, to be able to influence and to lead the body of Christ and things. All these are gifts that God has gifted the body of Christ. And what we have to do is take ownership of that gift and then come back and bring it to the body of Christ so that the body of Christ can function in the capacity in which God has called it out to function. Amen. And I pray that this helped you to give you a greater understanding of the ministry for every member. There is a ministry for every member of the body of Christ. God has given you a function in the body of Christ, and we need to be about our Father's business and function in totality in that gifting that God has given unto you, that the body of Christ may be mobile and move forward to propel the gospel even to the world. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to come once again before your people to share another word of encouragement and, Lord, to exhort them and to encourage them to move forward in that gift, recognizing that you have gifted the body such as you will, dear God, that we will be interdependent upon each other. Just like the physical body, so it is your spiritual body has been fashioned so, God, that we work together for the upbuilding of your kingdom. Now, Lord, we pray for those that don't have a church home and those that are looking for a place, oh God, to receive, Lord, your word and to receive, Lord, nurturing. And, Lord, in thy name, oh God, lead and guide them. And unto them, Lord, we pray that they continue to be a part of this casting, dear God, that they will be fed manna from on high. And even if they want to join Shekinah, Lord, let them so do it, Lord, and we be able to feed them with manna from on high that will undergird them and strengthen them, oh God, to do the work and the will of the Lord. Bless every intercessor, the gift of mercy, the exhorter, dear God. Oh, God, the ones that have the gift of encouragement, Lord. Lord, let them wake up and move. The ones that are leaders, let them wake up and move. The ones that have musical talents, Lord, and those, oh, God, shalotobosha, that have even the gift of teaching, let them esteem that gift and move forward in it as they doing it before you for the upbuilding of the body of Christ. And, oh, God, we'll praise your name, and we'll give you the glory and the honor that's due unto your holy name, recognizing, oh, God, you are the righteous Savior, the everlasting Father. Father, we thank you, oh, God, for this prayer. We thank you for what you're doing in and through the life of your people. Continue, and, Father, we'll praise your blessed name In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Again, thank you for being with me on today. I pray that this has been a blessing unto you. Remember, if you don't have it, God got it, and you just one question away from your miracle. All you need to do is ask. And God said in his word, seek and you shall find, knock and the door shall be open unto you. And watch God do it on your behalf. As you continue to ask of God and seeking of him and knocking, God is going to lead you into the place of your blessing. And so in my closing, I pray that this day will be the best day for the rest of your life, that you're moving forward into the things that God has called you to do. Don't look back. Yesterday is over, and today is a brand new beginning and a brand new day. Move forward and keep pressing forward and upward and onward, looking to the hills from which cometh your help. Your help comes from the Lord who made the heaven and the earth. Be encouraged is my prayer. And until we meet again, I will see you at the next time. God bless you. Bye-bye.